Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library. As always, I greatly appreciate your being here and coming back. And if you're new here, hey, welcome. Have a seat. This won't take long. I got a lot of things to talk about this week, so I'm going to jump right to it. First of all, did you all see Bart Ehrman on Colbert just this week, or last week, I should say? There we go. I review his book. He shows up on Colbert. Coincidence? I don't think so. Now, he was peddling his new book, which is called Jesus Interrupted, and from what I can tell, it's pretty similar to Misquoting Jesus, so pick it up if you like. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. It's not high on my book list just yet. But there you go. Coincidences are cool. In more immediate and technical stuff, I have set up an email address for you, finally. So if you want to get in touch with me and ask me questions or recommend stuff to me, such as when to shut up, or perhaps get on with the book review, or maybe you just want to send me a poem in praise of my ability and my wonderfully melodious speaking voice. Whatever works for you, it is labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. So check it out. If you'd like to send me email, I will be happy to receive it. Also, I have created a fan page over on Facebook. That's right. If you are on Facebook, and statistically you probably are, go there, and you should be able to just do a search for Labyrinth Library, and you'll find me. Sign up, become a fan, and if you are a fan on Facebook, you can get notifications and all that other groovy stuff. So, it's good. Technology? Wonderful. All right, on to the real work. Last week, I gave you a clue as to the identity of this week's book. The clue was, Remember, Remember, the 5th of November. Now, several people wrote in. I think I had a record of 4 guesses this week. Good job, everybody. And the winner was, of course, Paul. Wait, no, hold on, wait, no, I'm getting something here in my earpiece. No, it was not Paul. It was not Paul in any way. Paul was actually the last one to guess this time. The winner was, in fact, Jason from New York. Jason, good work. You were the first one to guess that the identity of this week's book is V for Vendetta. Good job to you. I am sending you my respect, admiration, and an extra helping of gratitude in the hopes that it helps you pay off your rent. So thank you, Jason. Well done. Thank you also to Paul, Vanessa, and James, all of whom took their guesses as well. So, yes, V for Vendetta. That is our book this week. And as I told you last week, this is actually a listener request, the very first of them. A request from Katie, who is in Spain, and who specifically requested I do this book. So, Katie, here you are. See, this is the influence you people can wield over me. Really, I'm very easily manipulated, if you want to be honest. So, V for Vendetta by Alan Moore and David Lloyd. There are people who think that comic books are just for kids. All right, they see Superman and Batman and Spider-Man with their bright costumes and their rather simplistic moral codes, and they think, well, that's all well and good for children, but as a thinking adult, I need something more. And some of these folks are lit snobs who view any kind of book with pictures as immature, you know. Perhaps they were told that they need to grow up and have distanced themselves from comics as they have for the rest of their old childhoods. Or maybe they just don't know better. And the point is that while there certainly is a lot of childish, you know, trash in comics, there's also a lot of gold. In the right hands, a great story can be told in any medium, be it print or painting, film, stage, or yes, even comics. In this case, the right hands are those of Alan Moore and David Lloyd. Now, Moore is considered to be one of the giants of modern comic books, having penned many a dark and strange tale, and ignoring the accepted norms of comic book storytelling in order to tell the weird and off-kilter stories that he wants to tell. In Watchmen, which we talked about a few weeks ago, Moore told us all about the flaws and imperfections inherent in the heroic ideal. In V for Vendetta, he looks at the flaws and imperfections in our societies and in ourselves. Now, this book is set in an alternate London. This is a place that could have been. In this world, the worst of our modern nightmares has happened. A nuclear war that ravaged many parts of the world. Europe, Africa, these places were, as the characters put it, gone. England survived the turmoil by the skin of its teeth, pulling itself up from the chaos and disorder through the strength of a new government party called Norsefire. Now, this government is unapologetically fascist. In the turmoil following the war, they saw the only solution to England's survival was in absolute obedience. And so they built a new England, an England of strict rules and laws with ears and eyes everywhere. Minorities of all kinds were systematically wiped out from the country. Blacks, Muslims, homosexuals, anyone who didn't fit into the worldview of this new leadership was eliminated, and in many cases, they just disappeared. The government espouses a doctrine of absolute control over its citizenry, seeing that as the only defense against the horrors that the world had just barely survived. But, you know, for all that, England prevailed. People were safe in their homes as long as they followed the rules. They were entertained with radio and television, given plenty of amusements and a healthy dose of fear to keep them in line. The government of England seemed almighty, governed by their fascist ideology and a massive supercomputer known simply as fate. Nothing, they thought, could challenge their supremacy until V arrived. Now, with no name and no face besides the Guy Fawkes mask he wore, the terrorist known as V began to cut a swath through the ruling elite. All that was known of him was that he had been a prisoner in one of the concentration camps set up by the government. In that place, terrible experiments were done on the human detritus of society, experiments with truly horrific results. Now, whether V's incredible mind and physical ability were because of those experiments or despite them, that we'll never know. All we do know is that he survived, and with a single-minded determination bordering on madness, he sought revenge. Now, with public demonstrations of terrorism and pyrotechnics, he took it upon himself to wrest control of the city from those who had locked it down. His goal is freedom for everyone, anarchy in its truest sense, and he will not be stopped. So, now as the title suggests, this is a vendetta on many, many levels. It is revenge for what was done to V in the prison camps, of course, where they took all of these undesirables, but it's also revenge for what was done to England by its new rulers. V is a man with nothing to lose and everything to gain, not just for himself, of course, but for his country. This is a book about freedom on many, many levels. It's about political freedom, of course, which makes it especially relevant today. And it's no coincidence that the film emerged during the headiest days of the Bush administration. You know, following the attacks of September 11th, Americans were afraid, and the government, like the government of this book, was all too willing to harness that fear in exchange for control, right? You all remember how that was. People were told to watch what they say about the president or the government or the troops. Never offend the troops. Television pundits and spokespeople demanded that criticism be shut down and that those who disagreed with what the country was doing, well, they were branded as traitors. It's interesting to note that all those rules seem to have been repealed. Now you can call the president a fascist and that's okay, but, you know, that's getting off topic. Anyway, we got through those times, right? But even today, those who would stay in power, they use fear to keep people in line. Fear of death, fear of immigrants, fear of the gays, fear of the other. These are the first weapons they use to command obedience from their citizenry. And most people fall in line pretty easily. It's not surprising, really. Most people, when they're afraid, look to someone to take care of them, to protect them, to tell them what to do. It's a very natural impulse. It's why we have governments. It's a natural need of human beings. But V exhorts us to move past that. He reminds us that, in a quote from the film, people should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people. Now, while our government never reached the depths of the one in this book, it's something that all citizens of all countries should remember. This book is also, I think, about personal freedom. I mean, we're all of us prisoners, really, you know. We're prisoners of our societies, and more importantly, we're prisoners of ourselves. We are held down by our preconceptions, our doubts, our illusions, our own minds and our own beliefs about what other people expect from us. That's what keeps us locked into a prison whose bars we can't even see. V freed himself from his own literal and spiritual confinement to go from a prisoner to a societal force. He burst free in an explosion of flame and destruction. He meets a young woman, Evie Hammond, and he brings her into his world, partly to be his accomplice, but also to show her how to be free. Her freedom comes at a cost, too, enduring the greatest nightmare of a citizen in a fascist society. But she survives, and she finds her freedom in the rain and the dark. The lesson that V teaches us, whether as individuals or societies, is twofold. Number one, we hold ourselves prisoner, and there is no more vicious or cruel jailer than we. And that freedom is frightening. It is wild, it's uncontrolled, and it never comes without a price. But that price, it is well worth paying. Now, to be honest, it took me some time to really enjoy this book. When it came out originally, I was big into superhero books, and V struck me as just kind of goofy, right? Why would someone wear such a dumb mask, I thought. And the hat? All right, the cloak is okay, but, you know, still. Of course, I knew nothing of Guy Fawkes at the time, so maybe my ignorance of British history held me back, but, yeah, I was really impatient with it. Also, the art was much, much rougher and darker than I was used to. You know, that usual four-color palette and the clean inks of the superhero comics, those are not to be found in this book. Indeed, there's washes of pale purple and yellow and green, very sickly colors in this, with very heavy inks and faces that are just full of sorrow and pain. In other words, it's not what I expected from a comic, so I gave it a fairly wide berth. And you know, that was probably for the best, since I think that having a better idea of politics and society makes the story that much more interesting. It's a complex and multi-leveled tale that deserves a very thoughtful read, and it asks a lot from its reader. And if you expect to get through it without doing some thinking of your own, then, you will be sorely disappointed. That is, however, the mark of a great work, in my opinion anyway. Does it make you think? Does it come back to you later, when you're watching the news or you're reading the newspaper? When you see a story about the pervasiveness of security cameras and think, oh, I wish V were here. Well, then Alan Moore and David Lloyd have truly done their jobs. Now, V isn't the hero we expect from comics. In fact, I've heard, through sources, that Alan Moore doesn't think he's a hero at all. Alan Moore sees him as a force of chaos and disorder. I see him differently. Mr. Moore, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but that's what happens when you release your creations into the wild. A person like V is necessary sometimes. You know, he's someone who values freedom above everything else. Let's just hope that we never actually need him. So, let me give you a quote, as always, from the book. This is a nice one from V. I like it. And the art, as I've said, the art wasn't what I expected from comics when I started reading it, but it's very evocative, very, very powerful, and very strong. I read this quote, and I remember the art, and it's a wonderful combination. The quote is, "Noise is relative to the silence preceding it. The more absolute the hush, the more shocking the thunderclap. Our masters have not heard the people's voice for generations, Evie, and it is much, much louder than they care to remember." So that is a quote from V in V for Vendetta. So there we go. It is a fantastic book. As always, I recommend you read it. Go get it. Okay, on to next week's book, and here is your clue. Recently, there was something called Amazon Fail, and by the way, let me say, guys, this appending fail to everything you don't like, it's getting real old. Think of something better. It's kind of like the whole gate thing that the media does. Watergate, Iran-Contra-gate, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean. But Amazon recently had a little interesting glitch where they recategorized as adult a whole bunch of books on gay and lesbian topics. And what this did was it removed the sales rankings from a lot of these books. You may wonder, why is that a problem? Well, that's a problem because then what happens is you search for a book, it doesn't show up in searches. Bestsellers don't show up on bestseller lists. It basically was excluding a lot of gay and lesbian literature from viewers, from anyone who wanted to buy them. Amazon has come out and said that this was just a huge mistake, this was nothing intentional, that it was somebody who, I don't know, pressed a button somewhere wrong. But anyway, I was thinking about that, and that's what led me to choose this book for next week's podcast. So, you know that the theme, it is a gay-themed book, gay and lesbian-themed, I'm not going to give it that much away. But in order to give you the identity of the author, let me just say he is one of the very few authors to commit seppuku in the modern age. So do a little bit of Google searching, find out who that was, see if you can figure out which of his books I will be talking about next week. So that's about it. Remember, I've got email now. I've got a Facebook presence now. You can also go to iTunes and write reviews and give me ratings and stars. I'm just like a real podcast. This is awesome, guys. So I've gone a little over my time limit, so I'll let you go. Thank you very much. See you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.